move, going deep, speed race. He's got Hill! He's got Hill!
From the Baptist Health Studios, inside the Baptist Health Training Complex, this is Drive Time with Travis Wingfield.
He's got it! Miami is in the playoffs!
What is up, Dolph fans, and welcome to the Drive Time Podcast. I am your host, Travis Wingfield, and on today's show, we continue rolling on with the interviews with your Dolphins 2024 class of free agents. Today on the podcast, a couple of ex-Buffalo Bills, Jordan Poyer, Saran Neal join me. Plus, we're going to hear from the great Sal Capaccio, the sideline reporter for the Buffalo Bills, on both of those guys. We'll also break their games down from the Baptist Health Studios inside the Baptist Health Training Complex. This is the Drive Time Podcast. Let's go ahead and jump into this podcast with my first guest today, new Dolphin safety, Jordan Poyer. Joining us today, new Dolphin safety, Jordan Poyer. Jordan, welcome home, man. The homecoming is finally here. How do you feel?
Absolutely. I feel absolutely amazing. Super blessed, super thankful to be here. Like you said, it finally happened. And just like I said, just super blessed to be here.
So you grew up in the Pacific Northwest. You make your roots down here in South Florida, but you have the mix of both. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, how would you compare the chaos of South Florida to the quiet coastal town of Astoria, Oregon?
It's night and day different. A lot of rain out there. Yeah. A lot of rain, cold rain. You know, we get rain out here, but it's a lot of cold rain out there. And, you know, people are beautiful out there. Like, got a lot of support from people in my hometown, the people in Oregon. Lived out here the majority of my career in the off season for about 8 years now, just down the street. And, you know, you can call it, you know, I'm excited to be home, man. Excited to be home here in this building, meeting everybody, and excited to get to work.
Does that automatically make you a big Goonies fan?
You kind of have to be a Goonies fan if you grew up in the Pacific Northwest. You know, the hey, you guys.
That's right.
So, yes, it does.
So the Goonies house in Astoria, and then drafted by the Marlins in baseball, too. Pretty good on the diamond?
Yes, I was very good on the diamond. One of my, you know, other loves in my life was baseball and football, and obviously my wife. But I was very good at baseball, and I played a couple years at Oregon State. Just, you know, the balance of playing two sports in college is extremely hard. So I commend anybody that's still able to do that. Baseball was another love of mine.
Powerhouse program up there in the Pac-2, maybe.
Yeah, Pac-2, what has happened? Holy cow.
We're going to come back to that in just one second. Let's talk some football here real quick. And let's go ahead and start with the can of worms and open that up. So you've been playing us for two times a year now, mm-hmm. for 7 years. What's your scouting report on the Miami Dolphins as an opponent's perspective?
Yeah, I mean, a very talented football team. Got obviously an electric offense that can put so many points up on the board. Got electric players, and obviously Tyreek and Tua and Mostert and Waddle. You just go down the line. And a very good defense. You know, I know we got some new pieces coming in this year. New D coordinator with Coach Weaver. But, you know, it's just very stout and athletic and very smart defense that knows how to take the football away. So, you know, I've had so much respect for Coach Mike McDaniel. What he's not only been able to do as a person, you know, just you know, his story, you know, his story is very inspiring to me. And, you know, his ability to overcome a lot of his addiction, a lot of his habits, and then be able to build, you know, this program essentially and have guys lead and have guys follow his lead. You know, it's really inspiring to see. I watched all of Hard Knocks. So it was really cool to kind of tap into the building and see how, you know, things are being handled around here and are talked about. So it's a really cool group of people that, you know, I've been friends with a couple of guys over the years, golfing and, you know, showing up at tournaments and whatnot. So, like I said, I'm happy to be home. I'm excited to get started and meet the guys and get on this roll.
Yeah, I heard you and Kendall talking about golf a little bit earlier. Yeah. Going to be some competition there between
you two? Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's always competition on the golf course.
That's right.
Anytime you're hitting.
So you mentioned McDaniel there. You know, his kind of persona of like positive reinforcement, mm-hmm. and the way he connects with players. I mean, we love it here, obviously, but I'm curious, from someone with an outside perspective, is that something that players kind of gravitate towards, his approach to the game?
Absolutely. You know, I think that connection is just as important as anything. Your ability to connect to guys that you're trying to lead. That's, you know, players, coaches, and together, right? You know, as a leader on the field, you know, how do you connect to the guys around you to elevate, help elevate their games? And, you know, that's something, like I said, I've had a tremendous amount of of respect for him. And, you know, I was with him in Cleveland, I think back in 2014, when he first drafted Manziel, and he was there as one of the quarterback coaches. And so, like I said, seeing his growth and seeing his ability to really step to the plate and fight his own demons within inside himself, you know, and really just become the man who he is, the head coach that he is. It's a lot of respect for him.
Very cool to hear. So also, I hear all the time, I always ask too, when we play the Bills, like, Poyer and Hyde, man, what do they make it so difficult for you guys? And he talks about how they could disguise the looks because of your guys' interchangeability. What goes into that from your perspective? Is experience, preparation? Like, what makes it possible to be so interchangeable as a group of safety there?
Right. You know, a lot of it is understanding your scheme, understanding your defense, and, you know, knowing where the pieces fit. I always like to call it a puzzle. You know, what you're looking at in front of you is a puzzle, and you just got to put the pieces together and make them fit. And so, you know, scheme on the other side of the football is one thing. You know, how they're trying to attack you, what they're trying to do. There might be, you know, times where you might not be able to disguise some things just because the offense is in attack mode or whatever. But, you know, you get in a rhythm of the game and you start to get the cadence, you start to get the rhythm. Mike and I had such a great relationship that, you know, we'd get a call and automatically I would know where he's going to show and he'd know where I was going to show, and we'd just move off of that. And so it's a lot of, you know, working within the game. And like you said, that experience and, you know, being able to see, you know, Javon Holland, his play, his skill set over the past years, I have so much respect for the kid. And I'm excited to work with him. And like I said, I've been watching him from afar and seeing him grow into his own. You know, I'm really excited to get to work with him and do what I can to, you know, just help elevate his game as well.
Yeah, I think Dolphins fans are very excited about that new pairing back there with Javon Holland. You've played in so many big games, and you've experienced the highs and lows of wins and losses in those big games. And you join a Dolphins team that, as I'm sure you're well aware, is trying to get over that hump a little bit, right? They've gotten there, but haven't quite gotten over the hump. How do you think that your experience can help this team make that push and get back to the postseason and get wins once we get there?
I mean, you know, we always talk, people talk about the past and, you know, getting over the hump. And, you know, that was a huge thing when I got to Buffalo. It was like, when I got there in 2017, it was the same thing. It was like, you know, how are you going to get over that hump and all that past is, it really doesn't mean anything, right? You know, we're coming here with the right attitude, with the right mindset, with the right people, and really anything can be accomplished. And you just stay on that track and stay in positive and you just continue to shed that light and continue, you know, it's going to be a roller coaster. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be lefts and rights, but being able to just, you know, stay focused on that common goal, you know, with that understanding, it helps direct you and your purpose. And so I think, you know, it's not anything like, you know, the past is the past. You know, I don't know. It's not something that you look at, you know, because all you have is right here, right now. How can we get better right here, right now? And then having that right attitude moving forward, and the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah, something that happened 10 years ago doesn't impact the 2024 Miami Dolphins one bit. Speaking of highs and lows and roller coasters, I always love stories like yours. Late round draft pick, you come in, play on special teams mostly early on. Then you go on to be an all pro. What did you learn from your path of, you know, getting into the league and trying to find your mark? And now here you are years later, right. Very accomplished player.
Thank you. You know, it has been like I said, there has been the bumps, the ups and downs, the rights, the lefts of through injuries, through being cut, through, you know, being cut a couple times, and really just staying on the path that, you know, my heart was leading me to. And that's essentially what led me to here. And trusting that, you know, things are going to work out the way they're supposed to, as long as I'm putting my head down and I'm working, you know, and I'm working to the best of my ability. That's what has allowed me to be able to say I've been playing 12 years in this league now. It's just, you know, being able to handle those ups and downs, that adversity, the wins, the losses, because it's all part of it. It's all part of your journey. It's all part of our journey. And so as long as you can say you follow your heart and follow your purpose, the rest will take care of itself.
Does that kind of help you go find a young player, a 7th-round pick, a UDFA, go put your arm around him and say, like,
absolutely,
hey, this is kind of how you do it,
absolutely,
blueprint?
Absolutely, 100%. And I saw Saran. It was pretty cool. I saw a video he talked about last week. You know, he was a guy who came into Buffalo, and, you know, I saw him. I saw me in him, but more athletic, more strong, just one of the athletes that you see and you're like, that is an athlete right there. You know, you can just see by looking at him. And, you know, there's some times where he, you know, questioned himself, questioned his ability a lot. And I remember like, Saran, bro, like, you are good, bro. Like, you know, just put your head down and just work, bro. And just let the pieces fall how they may. And look, he's 7 years in the league now. And I'm super excited for him to be here as well. He's going to be a missile running down the field and making so many plays on special teams and wherever he may fit. He's a leader. He's a dog. And I'm excited to be excited he came with us.
There's a screenshot on Twitter of him getting like three guys bumping him as the gunner on special teams against KC last year.
That's how much respect he's got.
Pretty good special teamer. Last one for you here, going back full circle. Who wins the Pac-2 next year? Oregon State.
Oregon State wins it. But what are we doing, though?
I know. Like, I'm with you, man. It broke my heart. I'm still brokenhearted over it,
man. Goodness gracious. But, yeah, I got to go with Oregon State, my bees, man. They're trending in the right direction. They're fun to watch again. You know, we'll see what happens with Pac-2. I don't even know what to say.
It's a joke at this point. Jordan Poyer, new Dolphin Safety. Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. No problem. And away he goes. Let's go ahead and take our first break right there. Come back on the other side and kick it right back off with another ex-Bill turned current Miami Dolphin defensive back, Saran Neal. That's next. Drive Time Podcast, your host, Travis Wingfield, brought to you by AutoNation. Joined now on the podcast by new Dolphins cornerback, Saran Neal. Saran, fresh in Miami, how's it feel, man?
Feels good. I mean, when I hopped off the plane, it was warm. And that's one thing I like. I like the warm weather. The sun was out. Nice breeze. You know, I get to wake up this morning, the sun was out, and had amazing breakfast this morning downstairs. The view was amazing. So I'm excited to be here.
You mentioned the breakfast downstairs. I don't know if you happen to see the NFLPA survey that basically graded organizations and how players feel about the organization. And the Dolphins killed it. Right. Yeah, A+ across the board. The food they said was really good. Can you confirm that for us here? Yeah,
sure. This morning, you know, the cook down there, I think his name is, shout out to Ant. You know, shout out to Ant. He's down there. He's, you know, he's really good cooking down there. He cooked amazing breakfast this morning and then at lunch. You know, he cooked me basically a stir fry.
Yeah, that's the best
really,
one.
Really good. So big shout out to him for that. It's really good.
Yeah, he takes good care of us out here. So kind of on that same line of thinking here, not just the food and the great building you've been a part of here today, but just curious because this is your first chance. You had a chance to be a free agent in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Why the Dolphins? What attracted you to Miami?
I know Danny. He was there my rookie year. Mm-hmm. When I was in Buffalo, you know, when I first came in, he said a couple things that, you know, got my mind right. And when I became free, you know, I just knew him. And the thing is about, you know, the NFL, it's about relationships. And I kept a good relationship throughout the year. So once it happened, you know, I just, you know, had a feeling like it was going to be here.
Is there something from your rookie year that maybe he taught you that you kind of took with you the rest of the way? A few things maybe?
From him?
Yeah. Coach Crossman.
Hey, man, like, look, so I came from a small school, Jacksonville State. Shout out to them. When I walked into the meeting room, first team meeting room, and he put me at a position that I didn't normally play, you know, and I was like, hey, like, I'm a good gunner. Like, I'd rather play gunner. And he was like, just be quiet.
Just listen.
Yeah, be quiet and listen because this is a new journey. And until you prove it, you know, you got to do what I say do. So then one thing, that right there let me know when I came into business that it was a business, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, college is basically like you just playing ball, you're there, you got the scholarship. But, you know, the NFL is like any given day glee and, you know, being coachable when you get here is big. And that's one thing that Danny Crossman told me was to be coachable. Like he took me on his wing, you know what I'm saying? Then from there, my rookie year to now, like I have excelled.
Well, it sounds like you made a pretty good impression on him to bring you back down here to South Florida. So, and speaking of that, like your numbers back it up. I saw you're 12th in the NFL in special team tackles since you came in the NFL and first and forced fumbles on special teams. What do you think it is that makes a great special teamer in the NFL?
Mindset. You're either going to do it or you're not. And with me, it's like day in and day out, game in, game out. I know I got a target on my back, but the thing is I endure that target. Like I'm cool with that. Like I heard from Danny, you know, playing against him, you know, over the years, you know, it's respect. You know what I'm saying? You get double teams, you get a lot of stuff. It was just like, with me, I just want to keep going, you know, no matter, you know, the challenges. I know it's going to be a challenge, so I'm up for the challenges. Just keep going.
I'm always fascinated by a corner that plays gunner as well because you're jamming as a corner, but you're trying to get around that jam as a gunner. So you have a lot of experience on defense in different positions, mm-hmm. inside, outside, corner, safety. I'm curious how that versatility benefits you and what has become, you know, a matchup league and kind of a positionless defense type of league. How does all that experience playing all those spots help you?
Because you become versatile, you know, you become valuable in your own role. We're playing every position because you just never know what can happen. So somebody can go down. And anytime somebody go down, they, you know, point at you and say, you got to go. It's time to go. And you want to do that job well. And I think that what kept me in the NFL a long time. No matter what the position was, it was just like, Saran, you got to go. It's like, let's go. Let's do it.
You've had that mindset since
high school, really, right?
Mindsets in high school, because I played a lot of positions in high school. I actually was a receiver in high school. So if you guys, you know I'm a gunner, you know, pretty good gunner. That's where I get most of my releases from, you know, playing receiver.
Playing receiver, yeah. I was going to say, because receiver in high school, but then convert to linebacker at first in college?
It was safety.
Safety, okay. Okay, so that's a pretty unique conversion. Usually it's receiver to corner, right?
Usually, yeah. But I was always big.
Okay.
I was always big. So when I got there, you know, first day it was like, dude, like, we understand you're a good receiver, but like, we feel like you can do a lot of things in life. You go and play safety. And, you know, me, I was like, okay. You know what I'm saying? Right. Basically trusted them and look at me today. And from way back then to now, it's just like being versatile, mm-hmm. like knowing like where to go and being in the right positions and playing all those positions, because you just never know.
Yeah.
So
what else do you do? So you play special teams, defense, you fly the team plane, cook the meals as well, do all that stuff?
Special teams. I play receiver. Y'all ain't seen it yet, but I really damn fan. I can do that. You know, I really can do that. I can do a lot. You know, I'm a country guy. You know, I'm really from, like, we call it red dirt with this clay. I was taught a lot, you know, by my parents and my grandparents or whatever, how to get things done. Cooking outside the house, inside the house, things outside the house. And, you know, I'm a father of three. I got twin girls at 7, and I got a son that's 1 turning 40. You know, he's terrible. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather have that, though, because he's a boy. You know, I like the roughness, but being a father, you know what I'm saying, just you matured me, like, really fast. Like, I became a father at early age of 20. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
But being a girl dad, though, that's a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, you got to soften up a little bit. Now, like, you know, back in the day, you know, you got the, like, the rough end. But now I got daughters. It's like, only thing I have to do is, like, look at them. Like, that's a dad job.
Just yeah.
Looking, like, really angry. And just, like, they'll cry if I do that.
Yeah.
But they're 7, and they're really, like, mature. And that's what I like about my daughter. You pay attention to them. Like, they're not bad. They're a really good girl. So, love them to death.
That's a result of how you raise them, man. Yeah. That's all credit to you. Yeah. One last question here for you real quick. So you're making the jump from the Dolphins, or from the Bills to the Dolphins, one of the best rivals in the NFL the last couple of years. How excited are you to be on the other side of Dolphins and Bills?
I can't even think of a word.
It's just indescribable.
Like, definitely indescribable, but just know. You know, me and Poirier already talked. We definitely fired up about it. You know what I'm saying? Not just division, you know, about the whole thing, about the whole season, and, you know, just a new journey. And, like, this is a new way of rewrite a story. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So just to come down here and to be a big, big, big part of this team, to help this team excel, which they already are, you know, have a great organization, you're great coaches, great facility. Everything around here has been pretty good so far that I know of. That's another reason why, you know, I signed or whatever. It's just great being around here and great organization. So, with that being said, like, I felt like I made a great decision. You know, staying, yeah.
Great stuff. New Dolphins cornerback, Saran Neal. Appreciate your time today, Saran. Thank you, man.
And away he goes. I mean, you get the feeling and the vibe and the intention here, right? You get the same type of energy from all these guys. Fun-loving, positive-natured, smart football players, guys that can blend into a locker room and really, really care about this game and embrace their teammates and embrace the entire aspect of playing in the National Football League. Embrace the content team back here that's, you know, working crazy hours to get these, you know, videos and podcasts and articles and everything complete. And they just have the most grace with all of us. It's really cool to see. And it makes our job so much easier. So a big thank you to the emphasis on the right type of characters, the right types of guys they bring in that makes our jobs so much easier, so much more enjoyable. And just, I mean, yeah, more enjoyable to do is really the best way to put it. Let's talk about the impact on the football field for either of these guys, because we know that Jordan Poirier has had a very successful career playing on, you know, good defenses in the back end, position diverse, playing multiple roles. You heard him talk about in his interview with me there the importance of interchangeability and knowledge of what your teammates are doing. And I think he'll bring that certain level of studious nature and just overall, hey, here's what you can do when the 3-by-1 set continues that 3-by-1 look in their passing concept. If you're the backside too high and you're you know, and playing two-man coverage, and you know that you have an under route that cornerback can handle, hey, you can go over there, and you can cheat and play the strong side, play that field side. Like, Poyer has that type of knowledge in the same way that Javon Holland does, and that's kind of inherent in Holland's game, going back to his career at Oregon. I just think about the intelligence and the football knowledge that you now have in that back end with those two guys. It's very impressive to see how those guys, I think, can be interchangeable in certain roles. Now, as far as Poyer's game goes, at this stage of his career, is he a full-time, you know, split safety, 100% snap taker? We'll find out. We'll see what the rest of the roster looks like and how that safety group rounds out from now up until training camp and who those reps go to. We do know that this defense is steeped in plenty of big nickel, right? Three safety packages. Nickel is a slot cornerback. Big nickel means your fifth defensive back is a safety. And we've seen this Ravens defense that Weaver comes from incorporate a lot of those three safety packages. So I tend to think that maybe Poyer's a little bit more for that role, that big nickel role that does play 60-70% of the snaps. But if he's the base safety, I guess we'll find out what it looks like going in the stretch here, because I think that at this stage of his career, he's missed some games with injuries, but when he plays, man, he's a playmaker. He finds the football, he intercepts it, he takes it away. He knows how to hang out into those voids where an overthrow, he'll be in position to make that play if you are going to put it in that spot. And with how Jordan Brooks can operate the middle of the field and the hook and the curl and the flat and all that stuff, it makes me think that pairing together is what really helps expand the things you can take away in the middle of the field and force quarterbacks who, look, not everyone's as accurate and as precise in the middle of the field as Tua Tagovailoa, right? And if you're not, that's where you can make mistakes that end up hurting you. That's why I think Tua does throw the picks that he's thrown in his career, is because he attacks the area of the field where if you're off by the slightest of margins, it can have those negative effects. It also can have the positive effects because you hit that part of the field. That's where your explosive plays can generate from in terms of running after the catch. But Poyer's just knowledge and presence in the middle of the field and how he can help this defense with a coach in the back end that can get things aligned, that can communicate with Brooks or Walker or David Long, whoever that signal caller is, in the middle of your defense, I think it all tracks. I think that you can expect, you know, even fewer coverage busts. I don't think there was a lot of coverage busts last year, but I think that what it does is, you know, last year we had this issue with anytime one of the starters was down, whether it was Ramsey, whether it was X, whether it was, you know, Cater in the slot, whether it was Holland or Deshaun Elliott on the back end, you saw things kind of go to hell, right? I mean, that Charger game was a disaster in terms of defense. The Buffalo game without Deshaun Elliott was an absolute disaster, both in fitting the run and defending the pass. The Philly game, they kind of got up and down the field. No Ramsey in that one, obviously. And then later on in the year, when you lose, you know, some parts, Xavier Howard in the Baltimore game, and in that game without Javon Holland, like that game, or no, he played, that was his first game back, but he played limited reps. Like, that game got away from you. So I think the ability to have more depth, more continuity, more football knowledge in the back end in terms of your depth is a great addition that Poyer can provide you to bring stability, not just among your starting five, but when you have to go into your depth, which you will every single year. Saran Neal, defensively, can do a little bit of everything. I would say jack of all trades, master of none, in terms of he definitely provides depth in your defensive backfield. I think about him and Nick Needham in the same breath in terms of, okay, well, probably not going to start, but if we need somebody at a spot, we have two guys that can fill any of those spots. And that helps you maybe play thinner on special teams. Maybe you put another body on the offensive line where attrition gets you almost every single year, no matter what team you are. Maybe it allows you to get the extra body out there on the offensive line because you have two guys that can play both safety and corner and slot for that matter. And, oh, by the way, our core special teamers that can run down and cover kicks. And I don't think anybody in the league right now is doing it better than Saran Neal. So we had one of the league's worst special teams units last year. Enter one of the best gunners in the National Football League to go cover kicks. If Saran Neal's out there, maybe that Deontay Hardy punt return, doesn't happen. Maybe you win that game. That changes the entire complexion of how teams view you because you would have gotten the Pittsburgh Steelers here as the seventh seed, and you win that game, and it changes everything, right? Like, I don't know. The butterfly effect is real on those certain things. I think you look at all these signings as a way they could impact that butterfly effect, and Saran Neal makes you a much better special teams team from the jump the minute he gets out there. So, big fan of both these additions. Let's go ahead and take our last break right there and come back on the other side and hear from Sal Capaccio, who covered both these players with his time in Buffalo as a member of WGR, the radio station, and on the Buffalo Bills sideline reporting for television and radio alike. There you go. Let's go ahead and get to him next on the Drive Time Podcast. Your host, Travis Wingfield, brought to you by Auto Nation. A man who needs no introduction, Buffalo Bills beat, Buffalo Bills sideline, the host of the Extra Point Show on WGR 550 in Buffalo, Sal Capaccio. Sal, welcome into the passenger seat once again here on the Drive Time Podcast.
Yeah, we're making a habit of this. I mean, you know, division rivals, obviously, but also, you know, guys crossing over now and going from one team to another. So always good to join you, buddy.
Yeah, I missed you at the combine. We did your show, didn't get a chance to come back and have you reciprocate. So here is the payback, perfect, the favor there.
Love it.
If you will. No, we're not keeping score on any of that. But I just wanted to talk to you about these two guys because, man, I had a chance to meet them both, Sal, and it always amazes me when you can almost like get what a guy's about in just a 10-minute meeting with them. And that's kind of what happened here with both Jordan Poyer and Saran Neal. And I want to, you know, we talked to both guys and their faces light up talking about one another. We've done that. We've done the film, everything. But I want to hear your perspective on the bond that those two guys created and shared, because it's rather apparent from the few minutes that I spent with them. But I'd love to hear it from the lens of somebody who has been around both of them for the last half decade or so.
Yeah, well, let's remember, I mean, Jordan Poyer came in 2017, and he's been with the Bills obviously ever since, and he's been such a great player for them. And Saran Neal, a year later, was drafted to the team as a young guy. You know, I've watched Saran Neal grow up here in Buffalo and, you know, have a child here in Buffalo, and he's become, you know, a man and an adult when he just came out of college to Buffalo as a mid-round pick. But now, you know, those two guys, what they built with that defense under Sean McDermott and under Bobby Babich coaching both of them, who's now linebackers but was their DB coach, and John Butler, yeah, they certainly share a bond. I mean, this has been one of the top defenses in the league for that time period, and all those guys together, I think they hold special what they've been able to accomplish here in Buffalo.
Do you get the sense that connection or that bond that they created? Because like I think about Raheem Mostert and Alec Ingold, who had been overlooked so many times in their career, right? And not even just in their career, going back to their earlier lives, and then both enduring an injury, they had to rehab together, and they're in that training room together every single day. And they formed this really special bond that ultimately culminates last year and then both going to their first Pro Bowl. My favorite story in the National Football League, for, you know, a little bit biased with the Dolphins logo on my shirt right here, but that was my favorite story in football. But I kind of get the sense that both of those guys shared that bond as well. Poyer, a seventh round draft pick who took a few years to really take off, and boy did he. And then Saran Neal, who's become one of the best special teamers in the NFL, a guy that, again, like Poyer, was probably told a few times you weren't going to make it.
I think it's a great point. You know, Jordan Poyer was on his third team when Buffalo was his third team. You know, he comes in the league and, you know, he's released by the Eagles after not even much time. Then he plays for the Cleveland Browns. He was actually starting to kind of show some promise, and they started playing him more, and he was starting. Then he had the injury because a free agent. The Bills had Bob Babich, actually, Bobby's dad, who was coaching the Bills at the time. He had been with the Browns and knew of Jordan and said, you know, I get this guy. So the Bills actually signed him, and he did what he did, obviously, and we know. And here comes Saran Neal, a mid-round draft pick, smaller school, and, you know, for him to have to work through special teams and not really see the field, I'm quite sure that Jordan Poyer was a nice sounding board for him and a guy to lean on. Hey, I went through this in my career as well. Now, and I think, though, the difference here is Saran, he really found his niche on special teams, right? Whereas Jordan, he became an all-pro safety in the National Football League. Saran Neal, I think I give him so much credit, Travis, that he understood that his path to maintaining a really key job and role on an NFL roster is to play special teams. He has played defense. Of course he has. He's also switched positions. He's been a corner. He's been a safety, right? They've had to move him around a little bit, but I think he understood after a couple of years, hey, if I'm going to last in this league, I'm going to do whatever it takes to play on special teams. And because of that, he became, as you said, and I agree, one of the better special teams core players in the league.
Yeah. And that's something that I feel like isn't that common in the NFL in terms of a guy that's willing to be understanding of his chances of carving out a role for himself and understanding where the best chance to make your living that way. And I feel like that's a big tip of the cap to him for so many reasons. And I'll continue on that thought because, you know, from what I've heard from people that have scouted him and watched him, and again, it's a 10-minute conversation. You can't, you know, learn that much from a guy in that time, but it feels like there's a certain temperament there with him. Just kind of, as one of my co-hosts on the radio, Seth Levitt, would say, some ish to him, if you will. And that certainly comes with being doubted a little bit. What did you learn about Saran's metal and his mental toughness?
Well, I've always said this, first of all, Saran Neal, if I had to choose anybody in the Bills locker room, I would not want to box. I wouldn't want to really box any of them, but this dude looks like he should be going in a ring every few months playing fighting for a title, but he's built like an Adonis, right? I mean, this guy takes care of his body. He's chiseled. And I've joked with him about that. I'm like, dude, like you look like you just want to kind of go in there and you know, go toe to toe with somebody, but that's who he is. He's a fighter. He's a his mentality is like that as well. And I kid about the way he looks, but I think that's also his mentality. You know what? I've always been really, really impressed with Saran. He never gets super high and he never gets super low. He's one of these guys that has this temperament that kind of stays right here in the middle. Now, we all know, Travis, you got to be a little wacky to play special teams in the NFL, right? You got to have that mentality and that dog mentality. But I think that's what keeps him, you know, he knows, you know, what his job is every single week. And he knows he stays focused on that. But again, I also go back to, I think Saran Neal's grown up. I really noticed kind of a change in maturity and adulthood with him over the last few years. And over the last couple of years, I seen him with his son, you know, around, and it's pretty cool to kind of see him grow into being a dad. He's 30 years old coming up this year, right? He's been in the league now for six. This will be his seventh year in the NFL. So I love that part about him too. And, you know, being in this culture and this environment with Sean McDermott and all these guys coming in together, I think that's also kind of allowed him to be himself in that regard, because you've had so many guys who've been veterans, who have families, who kind of brought him along and understand that mentality.
Man, that's exactly what it's all about. That's my favorite type of story you can tell me on this show or any other show about a player. Just it's about the people, man, and watch them grow and just become better people in general and grow into, like you said, like 30 years old. Like, you are officially an old man, an old adult, especially by football standards. But no, from a 36-year-old speaking, like, yeah, you learn a little bit over the course of time, especially after having a couple of kids as well. Really cool stuff there. How about with Jordan? Because, you know, like, the production on the field stands out. We know what he's done. He's made plays against us, way too many plays against us, quite frankly. But I want to hear your perspective on the person, because, again, walked into the studio, looked everybody in the eye, shook their hands, was so gracious, was so nice and just welcoming and warm. And you get the sense that like, you know, going back to Saran, like, with Coach McDaniel, he's made it very, very clear that there's a certain type of guy that he wants in his locker room. And it's not just guys that care about football and prioritize it and work their butts off to make it the most important thing. It's kind of guys that had the same path as McDaniel and that they were doubted, right? Again, Poyer, seventh round draft pick. You're not supposed to even really make more than a couple teams at best as a seventh round draft pick. Saran Neal, like you talked about, special teams is the route for him. He became one of the best in the league and embraced that role. I'm curious about the makeup of these guys and being doubted, and also just, I guess, the impact for Jordan Poyer in terms of like how a person like that, not just the production on the field, but a person can make your football team better.
Well, as opposed to what I said, Saran kind of stays in this spot. Jordan wears his emotions on his sleeve, and you know that. And, you know, when you know that, you know, he just loves football. He loves football so much. He's all about ball. And you'll never hear me say bad words about Jordan Poyer, because he meant so much to this organization. And I think what he meant to that locker room and how he conducted his business as a football player. We're talking about a guy, and you probably remember the story. He had a rib injury last year. He wasn't medically cleared to fly to Kansas City. He drove there so he could play in the game. I mean, he's all about football. This is a guy that he wants to do anything for his teammates. He wants to be on the field. He's played through so many different injuries throughout his career. And I know that, like, that's the mentality and tough guy warrior mentality of an NFL player, but this guy doesn't want to let his teammates down. He doesn't want to let his organization down. And I think that speaks very highly of him as far as his character is concerned. Jordan is, I remember, you know, there's times where, you know, Jordan, you could see it's just, he's so passionate. He's getting after it and you love that. And I will tell you, I also know he's very emotional after, not this past year, but the year before that, when the Bills lost to the Bengals in the playoffs, his contract was up. And I think he thought that he was probably done in Buffalo. And I know it was a very emotional. I saw him after the game talking with him. You know, there's a guy, like I said, he wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's going to do whatever it takes. But, you know, he came here too as a fourth year player in the NFL. He didn't really have his chance, gets thrust into a starting role. And here he is, you know, he becomes an all pro just a few years later. So yeah, Jordan Poyer. And as you know, I mean, he has a really personal story, battling addiction and alcohol addiction. And for him to overcome that and to openly talk about it and what it took, my wife is a substance abuse counselor. So this has really resonated with me and my family and my household. And we have so much respect for Jordan and how he's conducted his business. And I'm sure you guys will learn that. You may already know this, but one of the ways that Jordan actually, you know, was able to kind of get through that point in his life is by playing golf. He now became addicted to golf, and that's become a positive in his life to play golf. So now he's in a place where he can play golf a lot more, which is really good. He's also become a really damn good golfer, by the way. And you'd also know he was drafted by the Marlins. What an athlete this guy is, right? I mean, it's incredible. He comes to the softball tournament every year with Josh Allen. And, you know, you could tell he's just such a great athlete. But yeah, off the field, I just have a lot of respect for this man who is very open and willing to share his story and goes about his business like that.
Yeah, my guess would be not at all surprised to find out that one of the first things I asked Jordan about was his golf game. And Kendall Fuller came in here and they were talking about getting out in the course and competing against each other. And I was like, all right, now we're talking. By the way, Sal over his right shoulder has the Oak Hill PGA, yes, the U.S. Open ball from last year as well. So good company here, golf, football. And like you talked about, Jordan, man, really cool stuff. And that was the exact impression I got, again, from 10 minutes. You can just, that stuff kind of gleams off of him, just the positivity and the emotions, like you mentioned, that he wears on his sleeve. At Sal Sports on Twitter, Sal's House Podcast, in addition to the Bills Beat, Sideline, Daily Show, one of the busiest men in all of sports media, WGR 550 up in Buffalo. Sal, it's always a pleasure, my friend. And when you come back down here next year, I'll come visit you in your favorite visiting radio booth in the NFL.
Yeah, you got it. I know exactly what you mean. In the meantime, take care of Jordan and Saran down there for us, but not too much. All right.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Sal. You're the man.
You got it.
Gosh, I'm really enjoying these episodes, man. Getting to know these guys on a personal level, watching their tape, I feel like we're doing a pretty good job providing a comprehensive look into each of these brand new Miami Dolphins. And like I said, I really enjoy bringing it to you guys. All right, that's going to be my time on the podcast today. Friday, two big-time acquisitions. Kendall Fuller and Shaq Barrett will be featured on Drive Time. You do not want to miss those because they both were excellent. I might put the trophy, the title right now on Shaq Barrett as my best interview I've ever done. Talk about an elite human being. Yeah, I'm excited for that one. And Kendall Fuller was very, very good in his own right. Very descriptive and informative on what makes good defensive back play in the National Football League, and Shaq for that matter as well, with playing the edge position too. So you don't want to miss that. Monday, we're going to recap McDaniel's press conference from the owners' meetings. We'll also break down the offseason so far, roll a couple more interviews for you guys. And then next week, we also have Aaron Brewer, Jack Driscoll, Jody Fortson, Neville Gallimore. Plenty more to come your way here, taking you all the way up to the draft with some draft analysis come April as well. Busy, busy times on Drive Time. In the meantime, it's going to be my time. You all please be sure to subscribe, rate, review. Give me a follow on social at Wingfield NFL, the team at Miami Dolphins. Check out the Fish Tank podcast with Seth and Juice. Check out the YouTube channel for the video versions of all of these sit-downs with all of these players, plus media availabilities, Dolphins Today, and so much more. And last but not least, MiamiDolphins.com. Until next time, fins up. Caroline Cameron, Daddy's coming home.